Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called God and Savior. If Jesus were only human, his death could not have paid our debt. But Jesus is both man and God, able to represent us, yet able to bear the wrath of the Father. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Tragically, there's a word for it. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, you use the chat GBT OpenAI system thingy.
Yeah.
And you asked it what question?
What's the term given to the practice of people opening their Bibles to random verses and making life choices?
Like, okay. Yeah. And what is the word?
Bibliomancy.
That's perfect.
Yep, bibliomancy.
Yeah, it's using your Bible to get a word from God, but not in the way you're supposed to. It's like biblical divination.
Right.
You flop that bet. Isn't that the way most of us read the Bible before we got saved, especially as children? It's just amazing how many of us do that. And apparently it's so popular, we've actually coined a term, bibliomancy. All right, when I was a kid, we didn't go to church. For some reason, I don't know who gave it to me, probably a Christian who was concerned about the status of my soul, gave me a blue Bible. And I remember that's what I would do. You put the binding down, you set it, and then you just wait for it to flop open. Let me try it again. And then it flops down. Okay, John, I can say that one. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. I have no idea what any of this says. And it was so dark to you, wasn't it? It's amazing when you read the Bible as an unregenerate, non-illuminated human being. It's just words on a page. Now, you can understand them depending on your intellect. You can get it. You can know. You could take the exam. Just like you take a science test or a math quiz, you can know the answer to what is infused versus imputed righteousness, but you don't know what it means. You don't get it. You need the mind of Christ. You need to be regenerated. Then all of a sudden, the Bible, boom, it just blows open, doesn't it? You know what? Okay, Jimmy, I'm going to ask you the question. Before you got saved, what was something that you hated that you now loved? Something that you hated that you now love.
You know what? It's going to be a crazy answer, but people.
People.
People. I did not like to talk to people, be around people.
Anybody.
Spend time with people.
Well, see, I was far more discriminating than you. I just didn't want to be around those born-again Christians.
Okay.
And here I am. I ditto.
Right.
Being around a certain type of people, like, now that's all I want to be around. I'm trying to recall. Okay. So Sunday at church. Oh, this was a tragic error. We did worship outside underneath the pavilion, and it actually wasn't bad despite being 87 degrees at 10:30 in the morning with humidity. You know, you could boil fish in it. Nevertheless, people came. Boy, that was encouraging. I got to tell you, that was so encouraging. People knew they were going to be sitting outside sweating. Nevertheless, they came because they love the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't forget to be encouraged. Whenever you go to church, it took an effort for you and everybody else to get there, and they come. Why? It's because of nothing per se in the church. It's everything about the one who is building the church. So you should look around during worship and go, cool. God is working in that person's life, that family's life. That should be an encouragement. So that was two. When I got saved, that just changed on a dime. Here's another one for me. I hated death. Oh, scary death, bad death, terrible death. Now, it doesn't mean that I now love death. Like, woo, this is going to be a laugh riot. No, I'm not kicking my heels at the thought of my body shutting down. But doesn't terrify me. And that, by the way, that changed on a dime. That was just immediate, where God took that fear away from me. And now let's go. If that's what the Lord calls us all to, and he does, to enter into everlasting rest and joy being with our Savior, it's no longer terrifying, and it's not supposed to be. That fear of death should be abating in you. And if it's not, you might want to go to work on that. You don't want to die kicking and screaming. I didn't say you want to expedite your death, but you don't want to go there horrified. Get it sorted now before you're confronted with it. And if I might, make sure you also get a medical directive. We talked about that when Andrew Walker was in town last week. We talked about end-of-life issues. Super helpful that it's grounded in anthropology, that we human beings, we human beings are special. The period. By the way, sorry for the discursus from my discursus. Andrew Walker sent me a video of a guy. Oh, if I could find my cell phone, I could probably find it for you. He sent me a video of a guy who was doing a TED Talk. And his presentation basically was everything that we have in our world that causes it to function rightly, it's just an illusion. It doesn't really exist. So, for instance, human rights, they don't exist. Why did he come to that conclusion? Cut open a human being. Guts power out. Human rights don't. They're not intrinsic. What was he doing? He was deconstructing everything that we know from natural law to be true. It was an entire dismantling of what we know to be obvious. And that's, boy, that's just what they love to do, isn't it? They just like to take what is obvious and deconstruct it. A discursus from my discursus's discursus. I saw on the scroll at the gym, the CNN had the scroll. They were having some conversation on CNN. Should Biden press into his age? Yeah, that's what you do. You take what is obvious. Something isn't right. And you press in. Don't you want somebody that old and mature? It's just always seeing through a mirror, just through a lens backwards with these people. Everything is deconstructed. Everything is demolished. The conversation that we had about end-of-life issues was in the directive and how you go about the business of sometimes having to make those horrible decisions. And Andrew used a phrase that might help you. And please note, as I actually stated when we were discussing this with a studio audience, this is not a commentary or a critique of a decision you have made. If you have been confronted with this sort of difficult decision, this is not aimed at you. This is just a conversation about how to navigate through the choppy waters of end-of-life issues. And one of the distinctions was whether or not it was clear that the Lord was bringing somebody's life to an end. What do you do with machinery? Can you, unplug it? And it depends on whether or not God is clearly taking somebody's life or not. If it is definitely ending, it isn't a sin. Why? Because that's an extraordinary means versus an ordinary means. An extraordinary means is very advanced technology and equipment that keeps a heart beating or it keeps the blood flowing. That's extraordinary when it helps somebody to breathe. Now, what would be ordinary? Food and water. And somebody might counter and say, well, wait a second. Sometimes that takes an extraordinary delivery mechanism. No, that is something that is not extraordinary. You are then utilizing technology to do something that is ordinary, and that is provide food and water. And so I asked him the question, I said, so do you think that a Christian should go about the business of writing on their directive, do not withhold food and water? And the reason I was so curious about it is because I had to answer that question recently. My answer was, no, you can do that. But if it is clear that the Lord is taking my life, then extraordinary means I would prefer not be employed. Maybe that's somewhat helpful in your noodling through these issues. Do it with doctors. Do it with your elders. Do it wisely. And don't think that if you've been involved in a decision that you believe ended somebody's life, that you're to blame for that. There's another tricky part of it, medication. medication is a blessing, isn't it? It staves away pain. But that sort of pain medicine can also expedite the dying process. So there's another Christian conundrum. What do I do? I don't want my loved one to be suffering, but you mean that might hasten their death to a degree? Can I do that? And according to Andrew Walker, the answer was yes, because the intention of it is not to kill the person. The tension is, or the decision at its crux is, I'm doing this to help this person. And if a side effect happens to be that, well, we would certainly mourn that. That doesn't mean you're killing somebody. It doesn't mean that you are hastening. It means that you are trying to do something good for your loved one. Watch this, Jimmy. And that is why you need to read your Bible rightly and not practice bibliomancy.
Full circle.
If I could be smug, Friel, you already are. It seems to be your spiritual gift. And speaking of the chat open GPT, whatever it's called, which one do you use over there?
I'm using ChatGPT on this one.
And I used it this morning, too.
Okay.
In an effort to find the woo quotes from one Jerome Savonarola, would AI let me find them? Next on Wretched Radio. Who will speak for those who are staggering to the slaughter? Seems like right now would be a good time to encourage you to support Preborn Ministries. They're in it. It's a little complex out there with the internet and ordering pills. They're in the game. They're working hard to save babies and save mommies and daddies with the gospel. So if you are energized about life, that's something you can do. You can support Preborn. They provide free ultrasounds despite the accusations of all pro-life clinics. They are holistic. They do care about the mommy too. And they care for the family and they provide training. And it is literally a way that if you have the means, you can be saving a life. Amazing ministry. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Attention all Christians who refuse to be silenced. Are you tired of seeing culture crumble before your eyes? Picture this. Later this year, 8 brilliant minds, each a powerhouse in their field, will be coming on board and joining forces with us here at Gospel Partners Media, and we're creating a Christian version of The Daily Wire. We'll be tackling tough topics by writing articles, creating resources and homeschool curriculums, video resources, podcasts, and a lot more. These gentlemen will be your guides in navigating this upside-down, brave new world we're living in. But we need your help to make this vision a reality. If you'll join our $250,000 match campaign right now, you can be part of this exciting new chapter. Every dollar you give will be matched up to $250,000. Just visit wretched.org/fellows right now to learn more about the initiative and each of the 8 brilliant minds that will be joining us. That's wretched.org/fellows.
Gotta tell you, very excited. We have got a new outreach that we are working on with the good folks at the Masters Academy International, talking about getting John MacArthur study Bibles in Spanish to South American countries, some of which we maybe can't mention, if you know what I'm saying. It was such a delightful time, and so many people participated in our Bible distribution to the Philippines. That was such a gas. But as long as I brought up the Masters Academy International, it is a great ministry. It's a privilege to be working with these people. They're very thoughtful. They're very methodical. Teaching men how to preach the Word of God rightly. Then they send them back to their churches where they open up the Bible, perhaps for the first time, at least to that depth. Because of the training of the Masters Academy International, if you want to support a ministry that strengthens the local church, hey, you'd be hard-pressed to do better than TMAI. You can learn more about that, if and you want to, at wretched.org/pastor.
Attributes of God. God is a person. He is not a detached, impersonal force. He is a conscious, self-aware being with a mind and a will. He has made himself known through Scripture And most of all, he wants you to know him personally. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Thanks a lot, ChatGPT or whatever you're called. This is Wretched Radio. Gotta tell you, I experience it almost every time I use the AI machine. I'll ask it a question and it always edits for me. In fact, sometimes it even sees fit to lecture me, to tell me, hey, that question was kind of judgmental. We need to understand societies better, and we would do well to perhaps just give me the answer, ChatGPT thingy-majig. Jimmy, you found bibliomancy, which is a great term. Using your Bible to, all right, this is what God's telling me, concordance? What is, how am I supposed to?
I opened it up to the wrong part of the Bible right there.
I asked the ChatGPT to give me the quotes from Jerome Savonarola. If you're not familiar with this fellow, 1490s, especially 1495 and on for the next several years, he was a Florentine Roman Catholic monk. This was a man who, it seems, understood the gospel, and he understood sola scriptura. And wow, did he have some words for the Vatican. Why did I go looking for those words? Because Carlo Maria Bigagno, has been summoned by the Vatican. Why? Because the former United States Archbishop has been saying critical things about the Pope, saying critical things about Vatican II, basically calling the Pope a servant of Satan. Now, that's pretty clear. That's pretty bold speak. And so he received a letter, which he was more than happy to put online, that cited evidence of public statements that show a denial of the necessary elements to maintain communion with the Catholic Church. Well, the Catholic Church better not kick anybody out, because then they wouldn't be a church any... No, wait a second. That's the Southern Baptist thing. Sorry. I got my denominations confused just a little bit. He said he regarded the accusations as an honor. He rejected Vatican Council II, calling it, quote, the ideological, theological, moral, and liturgical cancer of which Francis's Synod Church is the necessary metastasis. So the Vatican II, 1962, really did change Roman Catholicism. Oh, I know they would say, no, we can't change Roman Catholicism because Roman Catholicism never changes. Yeah. Well, it did with Vatican II. It changed the Latin Mass into English. A number of more progressive decisions at Vatican II. And this guy's claim is, well, that's thanks to Vatican II, there's Francis. Furthermore, calling him a servant of Satan. Back in 2018, he had been accusing the Vatican of sex abuse. And I went to look for Jerome Savonarola because that's what his concern was 500 years ago, 600 years ago now. This bold, this dude, I'm telling you, fire came out of him. And I wanted to go find the quotes. And guess what? The ChatGPT couldn't seem to find them for me. I said, would you please give me all of the quotes from Jerome Savonarola about his criticisms about the Vatican, the papacy, and the Catholic Church? And what did I get back? A lecture. They didn't tell me the quotes. He left behind numerous writings and sermons that include critiques of the Vatican, the Pope, and the Catholic Church. And it wouldn't give me the quotes. It gave me a summary. One, the corruption of the church. Savonarola condemned the corruption, criticizing the luxurious lifestyles of the clergy and their focus on wealth and worldly power rather than spiritual matters. Roman Catholic Church, as we know it from give or take 500-ish on, 600 you could argue, I think it's safe to say by 700, the Roman Catholic Church as we know it today was pretty much enshrined into European civilization. And they were always involved in politics, always involved in power, always involved in church-state mingling. He criticized them for that. He criticized the moral degradation. He preached against decadence, immorality, and the disregard for religious virtues among the clergy and the laity. He went after worldliness, involvement in secular politics, alliances with powerful secular rulers. He went after papal authority. He called for reform. Now, he was not a perfect theologian by any means, but he was a critic, and I could not get ChatGPT to spit out those quotes, because here's the I'm paraphrasing this. He said something along the lines about the immorality that he believed was happening behind the Vatican doors. When the doors of the Vatican are opened up, such filth will flow from its innards that the entire city of Rome will find itself consumed in filth. Apparently, that quote was too obscure. All right, I think I've got it over in the studio, because we used that for On the Shoulders of Giants about 20 years ago when we did a European tour of the Reformer sites. And we talked about one of the early Reformers. And you have to say it was Jerome Savonarola, among others. So I said to the ChatGPT, don't give me paraphrases. Give me the quotes. Still couldn't find the zesty stuff, which probably is okay, because he was going after the stuff that he believed was happening inside of the Vatican. And historically, we know to be true, if you've ever done a tour of papal history, when you think of debauchery, what was going on behind Vatican doors, nevertheless, ChatGPT spit out a few quotes, but they're nowhere near as zesty as I wanted them. Quote, our church is, I'm translating this from Italian, our church is so corrupt that all the world cries out about it, but it is impossible to reform it unless God gives us a pope of his own. Regarding the worldliness of the church, oh unhappy church, I see thee pillaged by robbers, your wealth spent on vile pleasures, and the dignity become a subject of derision. Those vile pleasures, don't go dwelling on it, but whatever you think is vile, yeah, that's what was going on. Behold how miserable our Rome is. Once she was the head of the world and has now become a strumpet. The corruption of the Roman court is beyond repair. It is more than impossible to reform it. Therefore, the only remedy is that God himself shall appoint a head to the church. The church ought to be a true reflection of the life and teachings of Christ, but instead, it's become a den of thieves, a house of impurity, and the people are in a slumber of spiritual neglect. And what did Savonarola get for his troubles? Well, he was imprisoned. He was forced to recant. That'll sometimes be the result of the rack. I'm not saying the rack is right, but I am saying it does work. So they stretched him, with the exception of his right arm. Why? They didn't want it damaged so that he could write his recantation. And he did. Within days, he recanted of his recantation and said, shouldn't have done it. I did it under duress. So what did the Roman Catholic Church do? Well, they took him outside in the streets of Florence. I'm going to talk about Bonfire of the Vanities. Same location, apparently. And they stripped him of his priestly vestments. That's just a way to shame a guy and mock a guy. I don't think they were stripped naked. But did you see some of the stories over the course of the weekend? Jimmy, did you report on any of these green stories besides the greens going after the greens of the golf tournament on Sunday to disrupt the golf tournament? They're the global warming people. Love the mother people. Yeah. Apparently, one I thought was in Milwaukee, where the global warming people, they're doing a rally, and they were naked. They had to be naked. And then there was some sort of global warming bike ride, and they were all naked. And I'm thinking, what does nudity have to do with global warming other than just people with a really twisted worldview? Why do they have to do that? Well, they've got an ungrounded worldview. Nevertheless, they didn't do that to Jerome Savonarola. They simply took off his priestly garments. Did they burn him alive? Well, No, because he wasn't alive. There were two other guys that were being forced to recant that wouldn't. So they brought them into the square and they hung them by the neck. Then they set them on fire. So basically, they were incinerated after they were dead. Because, well, you know, you don't want to be mean to people like that. They were so concerned that people would even take the ashes and then venerate them. They gathered them up and tossed them in the Arno River. That's how much they hated this man who had the courage to speak out about what was going on behind Vatican doors. Now, today, I don't know what's going on back there, but I do know their theology. And that can be judged. No, that should be judged, because there was and is a reason for the Protestant Reformation. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.